Let us pray before I begin. Loving God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that can help us to understand your word. And I pray that you would be moving in our hearts and our minds this morning as we explore your word. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I can sometimes be a bit guilty of skimming over the beginning, the opening few verses of letters in the New Testament. You know, just going, oh, well, that's just Paul saying hello to everyone. And then you kind of want to move on to the meat of the letter. I'm also guilty of doing that at the end. Oh, it's just Paul saying goodbye to everyone. There's nothing there. But actually, today, 1 Corinthians, the very beginning, from verse 1, is a real gift to us because today marks the beginning of the week of prayer for Christian unity. I don't know if it's something that you have come across before or been involved in at all, but it is a week of prayer where we pray about unity across God's church. And it's really important, more and more so, I think, at the moment, that we find our unity, we find what unites us. And Paul beautifully lays it out for us in a nutshell in these first few verses of 1 Corinthians. Okay, I'm going to give you some context. We're going to understand what 1 Corinthians, this letter, is all about so that we can dive in and know what's going on because it really helps us to understand. So, 1 Corinthians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. He had set up this church when he'd been traveling through. Well, actually, he wasn't traveling through. He lived there for about 18 months and set up this church in Corinth. And then he moved on to spread the gospel even further. If you want to read about it, go find Acts chapter 18. And we know that he then continued to keep up with the church in Corinth, find news of them, see how they were getting on. He continued to pray for them. And then he would occasionally write back and encourage them, or perhaps correct them, or perhaps give some more teaching. This letter, he has obviously heard some troubling reports about some things that are not going well in Corinth, some things that he needs to challenge them on, and he needs to talk about. He doesn't believe that they're fully living as God calls them to live. There are a few issues with power dynamics and issues with how they worship and all sorts of stuff. That's what the rest of Corinthians is about. But he starts with this amazing affirmation of who they are, who they were when they first said, we want to follow Jesus. He affirms who they are in Christ. Before he goes on to perhaps correct what's happened in their Christian living since then. But what is beautiful is that Paul's affirmation of who the Corinthians are in Christ is ours. It applies to us, to all of us. This is who we are across all of our theological disagreements, across all the denominations of Christians that are out in the world, and there are so many now. This is what unites us. We are followers of Jesus who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. That is what unites all of us, regardless of how we think we should worship, regardless of what our theological understanding is of baptism and Holy Communion and how we should celebrate it. We are all sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. Jesus has made us right with God. And if we are sanctified, we are called to live apart. Sanctified means we are made holy to be in God's presence and then to be in the world as holy people. But this is the fundamental thing that unites all of us across the churches. Paul even says it, together with those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. I think it's very easy to get caught up in all of the differences across our faith and across the different denominations, and it might be challenging to find common ground. There might have been some people this morning that you thought, oh, I'm struggling to find something that we have in common. We're all human, we're all different. That might be the case, but what we do have in common as those who have chosen to follow Jesus is that we follow the same Lord. We have been given grace and sanctified by the same Lord. This is what unifies us across the church. And I think in today's world, it is an incredible witness that we offer a way to be unified even with difference. That is not something that the world can do very well. Differences and divisions are rife everywhere. And learning how to live together peaceably in unity is a gift that the church offers. We show another way. So we're just going to pause for a moment, and I invite you to think of someone that you know who worships differently from you. Perhaps they're in another denomination. Perhaps they're in the same denomination. The beautiful Church of England is very broad. But someone that you perhaps have struggled to see eye to eye with, or perhaps you've never thought of really talking to them because you know that you wouldn't see eye to eye with them. I would invite you to hold that person in your mind's eye and invite God to help you see them as God sees them. We're going to take a moment to pray for them, for God's grace to grow in their lives, and pray for us that God's grace would grow in our lives too. Unity across difference is not easy, but we are given a way to help us. And that way is the Spirit, God's way, because God's Spirit can help us. Paul continues on in his letter and expands on this, touches on this. He goes on to talk about all the way that their church is enriched. If you have the passage in front of you, if you've been looking at it, you don't need to, but there are lots of points that Paul talks about you. You have been enriched. You have all that you need. It's you, you, you. I just want you to notice, please notice, this you is plural. Paul is not talking to individuals about them being enriched. He is talking about the whole church. The church has been enriched fully. It has all that it needs, every spiritual gift that it needs. The you is plural. It is about the whole church. And Paul talks about the gifts that they have been given that mean that they can flourish as a church. Firstly, they have the gift of God's grace, that rescuing, sanctifying, blessing grace. It's not a reward for any work that they've done. It's not a prize that they've strived for and achieved, but is a gift that is freely given, offered to all who want to take it. And then that gift provides enrichment. Enrichment of human skills, speech and knowledge, Paul talks about. But he also says every spiritual gift. I'm going to come back to that because that is a whole thing to unpack. We'll come back to it in a moment. But let's not miss what else God's grace provides. It provides stamina and strength, keeping us firm in our faith as a whole church. It provides self-control in all of us, enabling us to be blameless on the day of our Lord, and enabling us as a church to be blameless on the day of our Lord. And it's not a one-off gift. Paul reminds the church in Corinth and us that God is faithful. God's blessings are not temporary or fickle, but constant in our lives. Because, as he ends that passage, God has called us into this relationship. Because God has called us, God will sustain us within it. All that we need, our daily spiritual bread, God will provide. So this is what Paul sees. He sees this wonderful church to be thankful for the way that God has transformed their lives, the way that grace has changed them and has enriched them and given them everything they need. And this is true about us as well. When we think about us as a church, God has enriched us and blessed us. God has called each one of us, not only into relationship with God, but God has called us together to this place. Each each one of us sitting here has been called to be a part of this community at this point in history, in this place in the world. You may not have thought of it like that. I know it's quite obvious for me to say it. I definitely had a calling to this place. And Christian and I would happily share about the fact that our calling was a discernment process. We had to really discern whether this was the right place that God was wanting us to be. I prayed for if it wasn't right, doors would close. And they didn't close. So it was right. It was God's will for me to be here. You might be sitting there thinking, yeah, but it's just the church at the end of my street, Ruth. That's why I'm here. Well, I would say there's something that's kept you here. Maybe you felt at home here. Well, that feeling of feeling at home, I would argue, is the Spirit helping you feel connected to God here. That's what's called you here, to be here as part of this community now. And because God has called you, God has something that you have that he wants you to use for this church. Because Paul says, you have been given every spiritual gift. You, church, have been given every spiritual gift. Not each one of us individually given every spiritual gift, but the church has everything that it needs. Well, I know that I don't have everything, all of that, so therefore one of you must have some of the things I'm lacking, because that is why God's put us together. We each have something to bring to the whole. I wonder how that makes you feel. You have been brought here to this church in this time, in this place, to give something to this church for God's glory. You, each one of you. So, this brings us back to those spiritual gifts. What are these things? Now, you may have a lot of experience in understanding what spiritual gifts are. You may have heard lots and lots of teaching on this. You may have experienced other churches and their use and talk about spiritual gifts. Or you may be sitting there wondering what on earth they are. You may find the thought of God giving you a gift exciting. It might make you nervous. You might be there sitting there completely ambivalent. But very simply, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we are talking about those skills that God gives each of us as individuals, which are for God's glory, either for the building up of the church community, for the building up of God's church globally, for the building up of individuals within that community. Whatever those gifts are, they are always for God's glory. They're not for personal gain. So they are a skill, a talent that you have been given by God to use for God or for furthering God's work in the world. They might be lifelong gifts that shape who we are and what we do. Or they might be things given to us just for a season, just for a certain moment, for a certain task that God wants this church to do. You will find some of these, they're listed, Paul lists them in later on in his letters. And some of them are very obviously church-focused ones, such as leading or teaching, or serving, in fact. But there are also other wonderful ones, which are things like the gift of encouragement. Being an encourager of people within the church, an encourager of people's faith. There is the gift of wisdom. My goodness, how important is that one? The gift of God's wisdom to help people in the church understand who God is and how to live as God wants them to live. There's the gift of faith. Have you ever thought about your faith being a gift from God that can bless other people? There's the gift of generosity, the gift of discernment. Big word just means working out whether something's from God or not. Often we can get sidetracked by the more obviously supernatural gifts that Paul talks about. He talks about prophecy and speaking in tongues. But the first, simply, is being able to share God's message. trusting that a thought or a word that's come into your mind has come from God and needs to be shared. And the second, that speaking in tongues, maybe the weirdest one, but it's all about communication. It's all about communicating God's message to others, communicating our feelings to God when words are just not enough. The thing with all of these is that, as I said, they are for the church's good. So therefore, they need other people to help you understand whether they are from God or not. So you might have a thought or a word. Someone else has a gift of discernment. You need to talk together because they can help you work out whether it is from God and whether it needs to be shared more widely. That's why God puts us together, to work together. We're basically like a really cool team that God has worked out which is the best players to put together, to work together for God's glory. So this morning, we are going to do a little bit of work about learning who our team is, sussing out some of the other players, giving thanks for all the riches that we have been given through God and all our gifts. It feeds into something I was talking about last week because heading towards Lent, those of you who weren't here last week, I was saying in Lent this year, we are going to be exploring much more about our church, who we are, building up to a vision day that will happen in May to go back over seeing where God is at work and seeing where God might be calling us. But before we get to that, we need to understand who we are, what we all offer this church, and what we think God might be calling us to. So let's talk about how we are going to do this. You might be a very reflective person. You might be a thoughtful person who would enjoy time sitting here, perhaps, praying to God to reveal the gift that people have in St. Philip's Church. And if you can see a spiritual gift in someone else in this church, please tell them. They might not realize that it's a spiritual gift. They might think everyone's like that. And it's not true. I know many people have said, you have such a gift of encouragement. And I'm like, well, I'm just being nice. No, genuinely, not everyone has that gift. So tell them. And as you tell them, could you also write it on a piece of paper in front of you? And what we are going to do, Colin, could you pass me the basket, please? Thank you so much. We're going to make a thankfulness basket that holds all of the riches that God has blessed us with. So if you can see a spiritual gift in someone else in St. Philip's, please tell them and write it on a piece of paper and come and pop it in the thankfulness basket so that we can gather up and pop on the table there. So if you want to be slightly more reflective, or you might like to chat together about spiritual gifts. There are some questions on the table, and I've also put them on the screen for those of you on Zoom so that you can think about this at home too. You can look at all the places that Paul lists spiritual gifts and make yourself a list of what he says. See if any surprise you, and see who you can identify in our church that might have some of those gifts. And also, ponder if there are any others, maybe more modern spiritual gifts that might be on there that are blessing our church that people have. If you want to move around, indeed run around, or be crafty, we have lots of things to decorate this basket to make it a beautiful thankfulness basket. So if you like that thought, please come and decorate this. Hannah has found us lots of lovely crafty supplies, so please come and do that. If you would prefer to run around this building, I have a game for you to play where we are going to explore these spiritual gifts and think about how they fit with our church. So if you want to run around, come and meet me at the back and I can make you run around. So there is things to think about and reflect on to discern our spiritual gifts amongst us as a church. There are things to talk about and things to do. Let's respond to God's word.
Thank you.
They're harder to bring. I think we're coming back into... Sorry.
Can I be encouraging you to bring forward, if you have written any people that you have discerned gifts in them, can I be encouraging you to bring them forward, pop them in the basket? And if you haven't told them, if you've written their name down but you haven't told them that you think they have that gift, please make sure you do tell them at some point that you think they have this gift of. They may not be aware that they should use it for the church. But it is wonderful that in our beautiful thankfulness basket, we now have things to be really thankful for, the way that God has enriched us as a church. I'm going to sit after the service and prayerfully go through these. But what I want to do now is take time to be in God's presence. And if you don't feel that you have a spiritual gift to give to this church, but you would really like one, this might be a moment for you to ask God to give you that gift, or give you the person who will tell you and discern with you what your gift is that you already have. Or it might be a time that you want to just sit and pray for all the other spiritual gifts that are in this room at this moment, and that are on Zoom, and that are as for people who haven't been able to be here today, but who are all connected with our church. So Martin is very kindly just going to play gently for us whilst we pray, come into God's presence, and ask for God's Spirit to enrich each one of us so that we can enrich our church community.